Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, praise the Lord, and God bless you on this beautiful, gorgeous Saturday afternoon. And I hope that you are enjoying your rest in the Lord on the Lord our Sabbath. And I am excited and elated, as always, to be here with you on the Stars of Heaven Networks 22 podcast here on the Heavenly Host broadcast. And what a blessing it is to be with you. And thank you for joining me, your hostess, Lisa Marie, for more of May's offering in celebration of mothers and flowers. And I hope that you are enjoying the will of the Lord in your life. I hope you are in the will of the Lord. And I'm excited to come in and share this portion of the offering with the exhortation I entitled A New Knowing. And I'm really excited about this part impartation the Lord has given me, because it was really birthed as I live, I move, and have my being in Christ Jesus, and how he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So I'm excited to continue to celebrate mothers and God's divine, beautiful creation of flowers that are in full bloom in the spring season. And one of the things that I was blessing the Lord for is understanding what the will of the Lord is, and the blessing of each stage of our life, which gives us a new opportunity to grow and gives us a new knowing. And that is based on the new nature, which is of Christ, in Christ, Father God's DNA, according to his attributes and his fruit. And the thing that inspired this message was just me thanking God that how we go from faith to faith and from glory to glory in the express image of the Lord, and how nothing stays the same. As the word of God declares, and as the Apostle Paul declared, if any man be in Christ Jesus, behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I'm excited to walk in the newness of life every single day, having my mind renewed by the word of God, having my heart cleansed by repentance, by confession, by the work of the Holy Spirit. Because if God can't do the work in the heart, nothing can. And the beauty about that is that the word of God says, and Jesus declared, that a man's heart will be revealed by the gospel. So it's important to hear the gospel so that we can understand what the will of God is and understand how we can also walk as Jesus walked when he came in the newness of life to show us the way to the Father, which is reconciliation, hallelujah, and adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. So I'm going to go to my Facebook post. This is where I'm at now. And I've posted everything on my feeds for your reading, for your edification. And I'm going to start in declaring a new knowing by knowledge. Because us knowing something, which means having grasped this concept, having knowledge also means understanding of what you know. The knowledge of all things is derived from fruit, and it's always manifested from fruit. So I wanted to go back to the genesis of how knowledge came about and where that knowledge is derived from, which is the manifestation is fruit, but the core of it is based on trees. And we are now trees of righteousness, representing trees, meaning strong and tall and rooted and grounded. And based on the tree of life, the important thing about trees is where they're planted. And David said, I shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that shall not be moved. And so every tree that's planted either is bringing good fruit or it's bringing bad fruit. And where you're planted is speaks of your foundation. So I'm going to go to Genesis, the third chapter, the first, and read through the first or the seventh verse, where it declares and speaks of the serpent who was and is more susceptible than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He goes on to say in verse 1, and he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now this again is the serpent beguiling Eve, going to Eve, beguiling her and putting doubt in her mind about what God said about the tree. And in verse 2 he says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. So again, in understanding in the genesis of how we come to have knowledge is based on what was already spoken to us, what was already revealed to us, and what we accept. And not to get ahead of myself in the broadcast, but ultimately the end the result of that is making the decision to obey that, making the decision to make sure that you're not seduced, enticed from what you know, which is according to what your true essence and true nature. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit in the broadcast. But she acknowledged what God said, of what trees to eat of in the midst of the garden, and what God had said. And again, the operative word is God, creator of all. He created everything. He created the garden. And with his being, God being the creator and of all things, it comes with instructions. And he said of the tree, you shall not eat, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman in verse 4, you shall not surely die, for God do it know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes will be open. Your eyes will be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And that's the thing that he was speaking to me in order to walk in the news of life. We must obey what we know is the truth, and that is going to be according to our essence, our true soul essence. And that's why the Word of God is so important, because it gives us a foundation based on God who created us, what to look out for in the wilderness and in the world. Now, the thing that the serpent said to Eve and disobeying God and twisting the Word of God and what God said to his benefit, he said, the minute that you eat, your eyes shall be open and you shall be as gods, meaning small g, not God himself, but as gods, knowing good and evil. And that's the thing, having knowledge of good and evil, it should be to for you to weigh out the balance and for you to decide. We're not supposed to be ignorant of Satan's devices, but to eat of fruit that will make you as God himself or make yourself a God, that's the thing that brings in deception. Now, I'm going to go to verse 6 where it says, and when the woman saw the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. So he was effective and successful in seducing her and causing her to desire fruit that would make her wise. Now, he gave her a tree, gave them a tree for food. But because of the serpent being subtle and always using the woman, especially a woman that's in disobedience, and operating from the old nature of Eve, she what? With her eyes was seduced. And she took and ate of the fruit, and then she did what? Also gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. Verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they knew they were naked. And that's the thing that I so love about this place in my life that I'm in, where understanding that love, true love, there's innocence in true love. There's innocence in your intentions if it's pure. And that comes from and is derived from your faith, which should be pure, and also from our heart. Now, before they were eating of the tree of God, they didn't know they were naked. But because of eating forbidden fruit, they now knew they were naked. And they sewed fig trees and leaves together to make themselves aprons to cover their nakedness. And the thing that the Lord always says and declares and helped me to understand that, that any decisions I make, as long as they're made in purity, and made in love, is good, because from love comes purity. It is, again, self exhortation, pride, rebellion that brings about shame. It's disobedience that brings about shame. Now, in me giving glory to God, I thank him for the redemption of Christ. Christ Jesus, who came in the flesh, and walked among us, who has given the soul of humanity new life. And that's the blessing of being born again of the water and the spirit, receiving Christ in your heart as your personal savior, confessing him as your personal savior, being baptized by fire of the Holy Spirit, being baptized in washing of the word of God and being baptized by the water. We now are buried with him in baptism and we are raised a new creature. And that only comes by the work of the cross. And I thank God for that. And in the whole process of his death, burial, resurrection came the word of God, because he was the word of God. He dwelt among us. He lived among us. He walked upon us. And this birth from Christ, a new knowing, having again our minds renewed by the word of God. And this renewing brings us to making decisions based upon what? The truth. And one of the things that he quickened me and giving me understanding and exhortation for this message was, took me to the prophetic word of Isaiah, the prophet who declared that at Christ's coming, that he would know to choose the good and refuse the evil. Because he would not be born, he would be born from above. I'm going to read that for you quickly. Isaiah, the 7th chapter, the 14th to the 16th verse. He says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. And that's the thing that God is saying with you and I. As mature believers, as dear followers of him, those who love him with all our heart, mind, and soul, we shall know to choose the good and refuse the evil. And that's something Eve should have known. That's something Adam should have known. But that only will come, can come by you being in the new nature, or you having a pure heart, having conviction, moral standards. Now, he goes on to say in verse 16, for before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou hatest shall be forsaken above kings, Jews, kings. Jesus knew all things. This, okay, I should have put a parenthesis there. I ended the sentence. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. So this is pronouncing judgment upon her, which is Jezebel, the great mother harlots, and the beast she rides upon, against her evil. And this also speaks of not just sonship, but the bride of Christ as a whole, the body of Christ, the sheep of his pasture, and knowing how to, again, choose the good and refuse the evil. Now, Jesus knew all things. This knowing came from the unction of the Holy Spirit from within him, and by the quickening of the Spirit upon him, ignited by passion of a pure heart, being obedient unto the death of the cross. And that's what we have to be in today's world and in our life, steadfast, unremovable. And that comes by having passion. It comes by having a conviction. And that has to come from a place that's beyond us. And that's the same thing God said he would do. He would quicken our mortal bodies. And he gave me John, the 13th chapter, the 2nd through the 42nd verse. And the thing that I love about this offering and this portion of the offering is that as I researched, I really noticed that John had a lot of understanding about the knowledge of his understanding that he should and would have, because he was exiled on the island of Patmos. And by revelation, he knew the things that he knew. So I bless the Lord for St. John, because it was his revelations about Jesus that came by his redemption and fellowship that he was able to edify us in the scriptures. Now, John 13, chapter 13, through the 42nd verse says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." And again, it goes back to the heart. It goes back to what? The devil, the serpent. Now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he rose from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. So in every junction, every station of the cross in his coming, he knew all things. And there's many scriptures that I could have put on here, but I chose the scripture that the Lord wanted me to include in context with this offering, because it is your knowing based on your new knowing of the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so important to walk in the newness of life and have your mind renewed and have fellowship and communion with Father God, so he can give you that knowledge you need right now. And that's why it's dangerous to gain knowledge based on ego and pride and intellect, only just to use it and operate from the flesh, because that could, with that comes manipulation, mind control, and all that stuff. Because Jesus came to give himself a ransom, God fully equipped him for the fulfillment of our redemption. So he was without, nothing surprised him. The only thing that surprised him was faith. The faith of many that came to believe that he was the Son of God and came to receive from him based on his coming. Now, I also wanted to include John, the 19th chapter, the 27th through the 28th verse, because here is another example of when Jesus was speaking with his disciples. He said, "Thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own house. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." So in the fulfillment of anything that we believe in God for is going to come by knowledge. And that knowledge comes in waves. As Paul said, we know in part and we prophesy in part. And the biggest thing that this generation need to understand is really have a cry out to God and say, "Lord, what is it that I need to know, what I'm supposed to know? Not what I want to know, but what I need to know." Because this is an information age. And a lot of people want to know things only to live in the flesh. And which is damnation to the soul, because living in the flesh brings forth sin. And when sin is conceived, you know it brings forth death. So that's the thing. Lord, what is it that I need to know, what I'm supposed to know? And he will only tell you what he wants you to know in that season, because that's how prophecy works. Prophecy comes in time, in God's times and seasons in our life. And a lot of times things can change. Because, again, he's the master. He knows all. So it's a blessing to truly trust God and surrender to his will, because he knows which way he wants to take us. And that journey is exciting. It can be fearful, because we don't know, but we know, and I know I can trust him. I trust him with my life, because he gave his life for me. Now, having received the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, I know all things. And I know all things because I ask, seek, and knock. I earnestly come before him to want to know the answer.
So if we ask, seek, and knock, we will find him. And with all our whole hearts, as he said, if you seek me with your heart, you shall find me. And also when he comes to knock at the door, he said, behold, I send the door and knock. If any man will open up, I will sup with him. They shall be my people, and I shall be their God. Now, 1 John, 2nd chapter, 26 through the 28 verse is also a scripture that I wanted to include because, as John says, these things I have written to you concerning them that seduce you. Again, the theme, what God is saying is interwoven in this offering is be aware of the seducer. Because the enemy comes to try to steal the planted word in your heart. He tries to come to twist the word of God, twist your nature, try to convince you, manipulate you from that which concerns you. And God said, here, perfect that which concerns us, but we can't be ignorant of Satan's devices. He said, and concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which you have received of him abided in you, and you need not that any man shall teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. So he said, you can trust the anointing in you. Go inward. That anointing in you, which is the Holy Spirit, which knows all things, will lead and guide you to all truth. And Jesus said, I will lead and guide you to all truth if you want to be led. And you can't be led unless you're surrendered and you are a follower, a true follower and a true believer of God, and knowing his will is perfect for you. Now, he goes on to say, and even as it had taught you, ye shall abide in him. Because again, everything that I have learned, everything that I put into practice, everything that I put in application is by what I've been taught. And that has been by the truth. And then no lies of the truth. Or what he taught me, not man. Man-made rules and man-made laws, what he has taught me based on me, based on what I need to know for my journey, based on my faith. He goes on to say in verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So he said, anything you ask in my name, that's what I do. And that's the thing that God wants to have is confidence in him. And that confidence can only be built in him if you practice, put into practice, communicating with him. Now, our conscience bears witness with our knowing. That's why our conscience must be pure, must be clean, because it bears witness with our knowing of what the will of God is. And 2 Peter, the 9 through the 20 verse, is a scripture that I wanted to include because in understanding what the will of God is and having the knowing, as Peter said, but now if all things are true, then be sure that the Lord knows how to rescue the godly out of temptation and trials, and how to keep the ungodly under chastisement until the day of judgment and doom. So the Lord knows how to preserve those who are his. He knows how to keep us separate from the ungodly. We must also want to sanctify ourselves and show to sanctify ourselves and from the ungodly and the wicked. Because in verse 10 he says, and particularly those who walk after the flesh and indulge in the lust of polluting passion and scorn and despise authority, presumptuous and daring, self-willed and self-loving creatures. They scoff, revile dignitaries without trembling, whereas even angels though superior in might and power, do not bring a defaming charge against them before the Lord. So they have no respect for dignitaries. They have no respect for anything that's based on order. Anything that's good, they despise it because they're what? Self-willed. And again, as I often share with you, anyone that's a lawn to themselves, you need to run from. Because nothing lives of itself, nothing dies of itself. And as he says in verse 10, it's all based on what? Full of lust and polluting passion. Polluting passion. That means it's defamed, it's foul. And that's usually what whoremongers, a person who has a whoremongering spirit does. They are full of self-willed. They operate from the spirit of lust and oftentimes perversion. Now in verse 12 he says, but these people, like unreasoning beasts, mere creatures of instinct, born only to be captured and destroyed, railing at things of which they are ignorant, they shall utterly perish in their own corruption. So there's no need for you or I to condemn and persecute because they are condemned already. The word of God said, he that's condemned is condemned already. In their own corruption, and their destroying, they shall surely be destroyed. And that's by their own sins, by their own doing. And in this time, in this day, it's made it so easy and so plain, the manifestation of that. So any railings against you or I, anything that comes to try to disrupt your peace and disturb your peace or to try to kill and destroy your essence and your purity, God's not going to allow it to happen because we're here. Now, verse 13, he says, being destined to receive punishment as the reward of their unrighteousness, suffering wrong as the hire of their wrongdoing. Suffering wrong as the hire for their wrongdoing. So that means they're being employed by the enemy or someone to do wrong. They count it a delight to revel in the daytime, living luxuriously and dedicatedly. They are blots and blemishes revealing in their deceptions and carousing together even as they feast with you. So that means there's some people that you can have around you that are around you that are right in your face doing this stuff. And again, that's why the Lord says, we're to come from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Verse 14, he says, they have eyes full of idolatry, insatiable for sin. They beguile and bait and lure away unstable souls. Their hearts are trained in covetousness. Trained in covetousness. And that speaks of what? The wolf in sheep clothing. The howling. Trained to be massive deception. Trained to steal. Creeping in. Why? Because they're lust and greed. They are children of a curse. Exposed to cursing. Forsaking the straight road, they have gone astray. So that means many of them were on the straight and narrow, but they turned to lies and bribes. And as the word of God says, if they were with us, they would not have gone from among us. It says they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Baal, the son of Beor, who loved the reward of wickedness. So some people hate righteousness and light so much that they choose to be rewarded by their wickedness. And in Psalms, the psalmist says, some won't even sleep unless they've done evil. Now, verse 16, he says, but he was rebuked for his own transgressions with a dumb beast, and the King James Version says, a dumb ass. A burden spoke with human voice and checked the prophet's madness. These are springs without waters and mist driven along before a tempest, for when it's reserved forever, the gloom of darkness. So, I mean, there's no, what they have looking forward toward is what? The pit of hell. Cast it out of darkness. Bind it. He said, well, check the prophet's madness. That means someone who was in their office but now has fallen from grace. For the uttering loud boast of folly, they beguile and lure with lustful desires of the flesh of those who are barely escaping from them who are wrongdoers. So that means that unless the Lord save us and keeps us, unless we are walking in the newness of life and have the knowledge that we need to have, we won't escape. And God will keep our feet from being taken in the snare by what he says, by who? Wrongdoers. Now, verse 19, he says, they promise them liberty. You know, they're whoremongers and they're fallen angels. They are promising liberty when they themselves are the slaves of depravity and defilement. So again, if you want the promises of God to come past in your life, again, you're not going to be able to get it from a wrongdoer, even from the wrong tree, who are of Baal, who, again, promise liberty, but then themselves are enslaved by their own depravity and defilement and lust. He said, for by whatever anyone is made inferior or worse or is overcome, that is overcome to that person or thing, he's enslaved. Whatever anyone is made inferior or worse or is overcome, person or thing, he's enslaved. So we have to walk in the newness of life and be what? Overcomers. Verse 20 says, for if they had escaped the pollution of the world through the full personal knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again became entangled in them and are overcome, that their last condition is worse for them than their first. So the danger here is in not retaining knowledge. As the Word of God says, for they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Is that if you don't hold to the truth, you will become snared. And what does it say? For if they had escaped the pollution of the world through, the escape is through the full personal knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's it right there, the full personal knowledge. You have to know him for yourself. That's the way of escape, for yourself. That means relationship. Now, at the conclusion of the offering, I was thanking the Lord for the new knowing, which is revealed as we are known. Hallelujah. And that's, again, what Paul said. I should be known even as I'm known. We know in part, we prophesy in part. And that comes in our true soul essence, which is in completion and truth. The completed work of Christ, the completed season, the completed work of your life at this age and stage of your life based on truth. And that truth will what? Make you whole. And not only make you whole, but set you free. Making us whole and entire, wanting nothing. And again, I want to include John, 1 John, the 3rd chapter, the 18th to 21st verse, and this is coming from the Amplified Classified Edition, where he says, little children, let us not love merely in theory or in speech, but in deed and in truth, in practice and in sincerity. By this we shall come to know, perceive, recognize, and understand that we are of truth and can reassure, quiet, cocolate, and pacify our hearts in his presence. Whenever our hearts in tormenting self-accusations make us feel guilty and condemn us, for we are in God's hands. For he's above and greater than our conscience and our heart. And he knows, perceives, and understands everything, nothing is hidden from him. And that's the thing. Nothing's hidden from him. I don't have to hide anything from God. He knows already what I'm feeling. It's to my benefit and to my, for my release and my edification to just share with him and just verbalize it. And it's also a blessing to have someone to share with and share those things with, because he already knows. As verse 21 says, and beloved, if our conscience, our hearts do not accuse us, if they do not make us feel guilty and condemn us, we have confidence, complete assurance, and boldness before God. Hallelujah. Now, this deep knowing and glorious unveiling of the mysteries of the Godhead comes by what? Friendship. Hallelujah. I am a friend of God. I have a friendship with God. It comes by adoption. It comes by unconditional love. And again, John says in the 15th chapter, 14 through 16th verse, you are my friend. You are my friend if you keep on doing the things which I command you to do. I do not call you servants, slaves, any longer, for the servant does not know what his master is doing or what he's working out, what he has planned. He said, but I've called you my friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. Hallelujah. He has made known everything to me and to you who are not sheep of his pasture, his friends, what he have heard from the Father. And so we can't relay the message of God. We can't declare the word of God. I cannot declare the word if I'm not hearing from him, if his word is not hidden in my heart. He said, I have revealed to you everything that I may have learned from him. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and have appointed you. I have planted you that you might go and bear fruit and keep bearing, and that your fruit may be lasting, that it may remain, abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, as presenting all that I am, give it to you. So our advocate, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is there to advocate for us to make sure that our petitions is heard. And that's why I love the Heavenly Host broadcast, because that's what the angel's charge is to take our petitions, the hierarchies, the Metatron, the universe, everything God created is working for our good. And it's according to the knowledge that we have now and the knowledge we're supposed to have. Because any knowledge that you are now holding in your womb, holding your heart, holding your soul, if it's not God sent, is of no avail. No avail, because any knowledge God gives is always going to produce life and bring fruit. Now, in closing, I want to include Mark, the 4th chapter, 10 through the 12th verse. And this is what Jesus was saying when he said, when he was with the 12 disciples, he says, and as soon as he was alone, those who were around him with the 12 apostles began to ask him about the parable. And he said to them, to you has been entrusted the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That is the secret counsels of God, which was hidden from the ungodly. But for those outside of the circle, everything becomes parable, becomes a parable. But in order that they might indeed look but not see and perceive, and may hear but not grasp and comprehend, least happily they should turn again and their willful rejection of the truth should be forgiven them. So again, Jesus already knew there was many that was going to reject him, that's going to reject the truth because they love their sin. As he says, men love darkness rather than light. At least they come to light and they need to be reproved. People don't want to be reproved because they love the darkness. And that's simple as that. And it's not my job to condemn anyone or judge anyone. It is your place to do that. But what? Pray. Pray for them. Because he said, in hearing, they may hear and grasp and comprehend for the saving of the soul. He said, but they won't. He said, but this is for those who are what? In the circle. And that's why he has to speak in parables, because for them to understand. But for those who have an ear to hear, those who are those he choose. But again, he said, I told you, you didn't choose me. And who he chose to reveal himself to are the only ones that will be able to truly understand. And I thank God that's me. I thank God that's me, and I hope that's you. Well, that's all the time I have for today. Thank you so much for being here. I bless and praise the Lord for you. I pray that you will enjoy the rest of your afternoon, your evening. And I will be back with more of May's offering. Peace, blessings, and much love.